How's life, Nora?
Life is not that bad.
Yo. What's going on with y'all, man? How y'all feeling? How y'all been? That's the real question. How y'all been? It's been a minute since we spoke last. I apologize, man. I really do. I've been adjusting to this schedule. I work at the Pilgrim's Pride. It's like it's the chicken processing plant, like the chicken factory, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? From live birds to chicken legs, thighs, whole chickens, and chicken wings, and all kinds of shit. You know, we do the process. It's a crazy thing. It's kind of weird, man. I never thought I'd be doing that kind of shit, bro. Like, I used to walk in every day and just be like, what am I doing? You know, like, what the hell am I doing right now? I've been in retail for the last 12 years, so I've been sitting there like, dude, what am I even doing right now? But I gotta say, guys, you know, over some time, you know, I've grown to like it. I have really grown to like it. I've really been through it with that job, but not really. Just, you know, being in a foreign space, same thing. What I'm trying to rhyme for. Guys, I'm tired. It's 4 in the morning as I'm recording this. I just got off work, and I'm sitting in my office. I just pulled up. I just got all, I happen to just look at my phone. When I get off work, I typically just put on music and ride and drive home, you know, and I'll pick up my phone, and my phone's already in, like, night mode, because I'm on a regular day. I'll be asleep, so I don't get any notifications, but I happen to just kind of look at, see if I had any missed calls or texts, and lo and behold, Tiffany calls me up. Shoots me a bunch of text and everything, talking about how the food she ordered didn't get here. So I had no idea that I'm about to be eating Pop-Tarts and waffles. I don't even want waffles, man. Until I already got here. It's too late to get anything, because then out here where I'm at, everything closed. We don't got no 24-hour spots, unless I drive 30 minutes, and that is not happening. But, I don't even blame my shawty, bro. She, you know, she did everything she can. I was listening to her little voicemail. I felt bad for her. She went through it with DoorDash. They some assholes. But, anyway, guys, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about something today. Something that's been on my mind for a minute. I've said a while back that, you know, you'll never catch me. Like, I was like, man, I care about people. Like, you know, I'm always open for discussion, but I'm not finna argue. Especially on those social media platforms, you know what I'm saying? Where everybody's free to just throw everybody's opinions around, you know what I'm saying? I'm not finna argue with nobody. I kind of take that back a little bit. Partially, on the 50-50, I gotta correct myself. Because lately here, I feel like, and it's almost as if, like, you know, people listen to my podcast and decided, let's try this man, but lately here, you know, people have been jumping on my, you know, jumping on statuses and shit, trying to start some issues, and I hate to try to start, you know, I hate to start the podcast off like this, you know, with some shit, but I'm, you know, we got to get into it, you know what I'm saying? First of all, my opinion is my own, you know, and I'm entitled to that shit, and if I'm opening it, you know, if we having a discussion, like, if people are throwing, you know, saying certain things, and we having a discussion, that's that, you know what I'm saying? That's one thing. If you get on a post and you just like, why do you care about it? Just trying to be negative, just trying to be argumentative. That's a whole different story, man. Like, I'm always, you know, I'm down for people that disagree if they share facts and certain things. But, you know, I posted a status not too long ago, and I personally don't want to get into this only because I kind of don't feel like it. Like, I just don't fucking feel like, never mind. I don't fucking feel like it, guys. And maybe that's a good thing, because y'all don't want to fucking hear me rant about no bullshit. Like, fuck it. I don't care. It's all there. Like, I don't care. Like, I ain't even gonna go into it. It made me mad. But that conversation led me to what I'm gonna talk about today. And I'm going to talk about the influence that media have on kids. And not only, I mean, not only media, but everywhere, music, everything has on these kids. You know, I get sick of, more often than not, people trying to pretend that, you know, that everything is just new ideas. Everything is so innocent. Everything is so, God, I should have been more prepared. I probably shouldn't have done this, like, as I was getting off work. Yeah, I'm gonna ride this out. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna ride this out, but we're just not gonna talk about this, guys. I try to give y'all raw shit. So, but I'm gonna start by saying this, and I'm gonna give you a preview the next episode. You know what I'm saying? Media, social media, well, I ain't gonna say social media, but media, cartoons, TV, is definitely going in a dark direction, and it's definitely, you know what I'm saying, targeting our kids. And that's what I'm gonna say. That's my statement. That's my lead statement. I'm gonna hit you with some facts and shit next episode. We gonna go into it next episode. I guess for right now, man, I'll just talk to y'all about something else that's been on my mind. It's kind of crazy. Without spoiling anything and giving too much, I want to say this. You know, I've been real proud of Tiffany here lately, only because of the simple fact that, like, she's been doing a lot of things differently. I know people that know her, you know, or know her on social media, has seen a certain shift in her demeanor a little bit, as far as, like, how she's a lot more positive on things, and how, you know, she's reaching out a little bit more. She's doing more. She's a lot more active. You know, she's just a breath of fresh air, a little bundle of light on social media, if you will. It's deeper than what you see on the internet. You know, I would like to give y'all a different perspective on some things. She definitely works hard to try to be, you know, to say, to try to keep, you know, to say, to try to keep everything. What I'm trying to say, she works hard to try to be the best person that she can be for her own self. Like, you know what I'm saying? She works real hard on her self-confidence. She works real hard on her goals. She works real hard on her dreams. She's been working real hard lately. And I just want to give her a shout out on that shit, because, you know, she's definitely, you know, she's been praying a lot more, which I love. You know, she has a really close relationship with God. Closer than me. And I'm not even jealous about it. I love that, to be honest with you. And she's been praying about a lot of things that she wants to manifest in her life, that she wants for the family, that she wants for her, you know, for herself, most importantly. And it's kind of funny to say, it's kind of cool, y'all. Like, I mean, I don't know if anybody's really religious out there. I mean, I don't know if all of y'all are religious out there, but I mean, if you're not, I just want to tell you this story. I mean, you know, it's crazy how, you I sat back and watched God work for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I've sat here and I watched Tiffany, you know, pray for just a better life and a better, you know, just a better situation for herself and the family. And throughout all of this prayer, you know, a lot of the times, more often than not, people will pray and they would sit around and just wait for the fix. You know what I'm saying? Per se, they don't do the work in between the prayer. But Tiffany, on the other hand, she's been doing the work, and she's been busting her ass and a lot of things with her job, you know, with the family, you know, with the relationship. She's been, you know, attacking a lot of things head on, you know, and definitely trying. And she's not perfect by any means, but she's catching herself, and she's, you know what I'm saying? And it's been a lot easier for me, as far as, well, I'm not going to dig into it, the same therapy, but, you know, she's been really trying and shit. And so she just ran into a big blessing, man. Like, just to get back on track here, she ran into a big ass blessing that I'll let her tell you when the time is right. But, it was something that it's a big blessing. And it's one of those things. And I know that's not telling you much, and it's kind of why the fuck would you show me something if I can't have it then? You know what I'm saying? Like, why the fuck would you tell me this if you're not finna tell me everything, right? But I tell you everything when it comes to myself, so that you can see another perspective. Jesus, I'm tired. I don't know what's going on. But you'll get another perspective of it, of another blessing. But so, you know, throughout this journey, you know, throughout everything, You know, watching Tiffany work as hard has motivated me, you know, to even stick with Pilgrims, you know, because like I said, at first I was not happy with it, but I stuck with it. Just watching her hustle just reminded me as to why I did this, why I even got this far, you know, how I even got this far, you know, the hustle in me, you know, it just, she kind of lit a fire even in me. And I've been praying myself. Because I've been going through a lot. You know, y'all have listened to the podcast. I've been through a lot, and it's a lot of the situations I felt have been bigger than me or beyond me. And I, you know, being who I am, you know, the problem solver and the person that's always looking at things from different perspectives and trying to, you know, be collected and so, you know, all of that good things. When I have a lot of things hit me from all angles, it's kind of hard. So I started praying a lot more myself. And it was kind of cool watching Tiffany get her blessings and stuff. And I've been blessed as well without even realizing it, you know, even with the job and everything, you know, with the job, I used to hate it because I didn't really like what I was doing. But then after, giving anything some time, I started really appreciating it as I chose to learn the business. I felt that was God doing that, because every day I used to hate it. Every day I used to ask God, man, like, man, please, like, just give me another opportunity. And it does get deep. It does get deep. And I'll tell you about it. You know, but I used to go to work and I used to just, you know, they used to move me around everywhere. I never had a permanent spot. Like, you know, a lot of people will clock in at work and they know where they're going to be. They know where they're working at. They know what their task is for the next couple of hours. Not me. I have to walk in, report to somebody and be like, yo, where am I at? Only because, well, I'll tell you that later. I'll tell you that later. But so I'm working at Pilgrim's Pride here, and a while back, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if I've mentioned it on another episode or not, but I went and I've applied to DuPont in Virginia, and it was a big decision that, you know, it's a big deal actually to work there. I mean, the work there is, that's a $100,000 job. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're working at DuPont, you're not leaving that month, but like, you're making money. You know what I'm saying? Actually, my brother working there now, you feel me? Like, well, my cousin working there now. And you know, he making big money, you know what I'm saying? And, I'm proud of him and shit like that. You know, we never saw ourselves here. When we was young and going through what we was going through, thugging it the way we were thugging it, you know, we never thought we would see ourselves where we are right here. And watching him do this thing at DuPont, that shit is amazing. So when he told me they were having these interviews and shit, I went down to Virginia. It was a little 3-hour drive. I interviewed and everything. Well, actually, I didn't even get the interview. That's the crazy thing. I drove 3 hours to Virginia. Then it stood in line. They got my information. I did the assessment, the interview. And because there were so many people out there, they couldn't, and they ran out of time. They told me, they sent me home and said they were going to give me a virtual interview, but I passed the assessment. A lot of people didn't pass the assessment. They went home, you know? And so I get home and I don't hear anything from them for a while. And of course I'm worried about it, but you know, I'm calling my cousin and he's telling me like, they had so many people. Trust me, I'm getting the updates. I'll let you know something when I know something. So I got to rely on him for primarily all of the information. If I go online, it says application submitted, pending, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a sit and wait. So within the meantime, of course, I'm going to get this job at Pilgrims. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I don't really want to even be there, because in the back of my mind, you know, per my cousin's advice, he's like, yo, you already got the job, bro. If I was you, I just wait on DuPont. But I ain't gonna wait on DuPont, because I need some money at, you know, for the meantime and shit. So I'm working at Pilgrims, and like I said, I'm hating it, and I know I got this big opportunity waiting on me, you know. And give me a money, y'all. I'm gonna pop this Red Bull real quick. I always get one, because oh man, my bad. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all gotta bear with me. Like I said, it's about 4:30 in the morning right now. Shit crazy. But what was I saying? Well, damn. What was I saying? Hell, I was speaking about Pilgrims. So, you know, I'm working at Pilgrims. I'm not liking it. And every day, you know, they have me doing something different. I know I got this bigger opportunity in the background. And I'm just, you know, I'm conflicted. And I'm telling Tiffany every day, like, damn, bro, like, I really don't want to do this, you know. But the thing is that when I do go in, it doesn't matter. Like, even if I have that attitude going in or I have that mindset, when I get into any job, you know, not only this job, but it's just any job. When I get into the job, it's almost like it's a switch that goes on in my mind that tells me it's time to hustle. And I move, I hustle, I keep my head down. I'm not really trying to make friends. If I make friends, it's a coincidence, but I'm really not, that's not really the goal. So I keep my head down and I work fast. I work, you know, I move. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. And that goes on for a couple of days. I'm never in the same spot. They're moving me around. So that's kind of pissing me off. And I'm feeling like I'm being thrown around. Like they're not taking me seriously. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the people that I went into training with that came out onto the production floor, they got a permanent spot. They're comfortable. They know where they're going to be when they clock on every day, you know, and not I. And they have me doing the craziest things. I mean, there's times I'm shoveling chicken for hours, and that sounds crazy, but if you imagine those, a big cardboard box, and I mean big, enough to fit, like, you ever been to Walmart and see, like, where they, like, those big cardboard boxes that they have in the middle of the displays that they either put, like, a bunch of, like, a bulk stack of nuts in, or they'll put a big ass box. And it'll be filled all the way up to the brim with either thighs, chicken legs, breast, you know, etc. You name it. And it's also sitting in its own chicken juice, bro. So I got a shovel and I got a bucket, and I like not even a real bucket, kind of like a bin. And I have to literally shovel this shit, and it's weight. It's dead weight. It's just meat and bone, and I'm shoveling it. It's the biggest. This job is the best and biggest gym membership I've ever had. And part of my complaints were that the first couple of days, my body was just killing me, you know? It was a big adjustment for me. I'm doing work every day, you know what I'm saying? And it was crazy, bro. But I was doing other jobs as well. But I mentioned that just to say there was days where, like, for hours, it sucked. Meanwhile, the production floor is cold. You know, we're dealing with meat. And so the production floor is freaking, it's a refrigerator. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a whole thing. You know, it's just a whole thing. My manager one day, and I was asking, you know, I've been praying on it. I've been praying on everything. And I've been trying to, like, kind of put it in God's hands, man. Because I was like, you know, I need the money. You know, I'm just, you know, if just please let DuPont call me back. Let DuPont call me back. And I'm telling Tiffany, you know what I'm saying? I'm telling Tiffany, like, man, I really hope DuPont calls me back. The biggest dilemma with getting the job at DuPont, as good of a job as that is for me, is that puts a problem on me and Tiffany's relationship. Because with her working where she is now, she has to stay put for at least one more year to be fully vested in her job. So she would have to stay here. Now, we already planned on moving, so we're on a month-to-month. Like, we're on a month-to-month, not even a year lease right now, because we're trying to get a body here. And we don't really know where we're going. We just want to go, you know? But she needs to stay here. And she's telling me, like, you know, and of course, her just being her positive, supportive self, she's telling me, go get this job. You know, even if you have to stay with Brian for a minute, you know what I'm saying, and kind of get everything together, you know, after the year, you'll already have a spot. We could just move on to, you know, come on down and help me, you know, help me move and, you know, help us move over and shit like that. Had it all planned out and shit like that. But I'm thinking to myself, like, bro, for a year, be without my family, yo, like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking of it differently because that's just who I am. I always think of things from a lot of different perspectives, and I think a little further ahead. And that, and I'm all for the long distance shit, but that's gonna fucking kill niggas. Like, that's gonna kill me. And that's gonna definitely kill her. And I don't, you know, and I ain't think she realized it at first. She does now because we've talked about it. But before, you know, I didn't think she realized it. You know, all it takes is, and I've said this a million times already, but all it takes is her having a bad freaking day. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about a bad day at work, you know, then the kids come home and they on her nerves and I'm just not there. And then, like, she wants to vent, you know what I'm saying? Even, you know, maybe she wants to call her friends and they not answering the phone. You know what I'm saying? She got a bottle, she got her bottle of wine, she and her fella, she wants to vent. And God forbid I'm playing a game or I don't answer my phone. Do you know what that is? A problem. A problem that niggas can't bounce like that. I don't like that. I'm not trying to bounce back from. You know what I'm saying? Because that's just going to be it's a catastrophe. And we don't have the best memories in VA. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just, I don't even, like, a part of me doesn't want to even get the job because I just don't want to be there. I don't want to be in Virginia. We've built such a good life out here. And we've turned into these better individuals. And I just don't see a reason to go back to a place where we were stagnant. Even though we wouldn't be returning the same people, I just don't really know. You know? Once again, that's $100,000. You know what I'm saying? $100,000 a year. You feel what I'm saying? That's enough money to make changes in my life, even in Virginia. You know what I'm saying? I'm not living in the same neighborhoods. I'm not surrounded by the same people. You know, so it was something it's something that's weighing heavy on me. And, you know, I definitely been praying on it. But y'all, get this, man. And this is how I tell you that God's working in this crazy way. In a crazy way. You know, I show up to work at Pilgrim's one day, and I'm walking in on from a break, from a 30-minute break, and my manager looks at me, and he goes, "Where you from?" Not even my manager, actually. Excuse me. He's a manager. You know, I don't know if I explain this to you guys, but everybody's separated by the color of their helmets. That's how you can identify who's who. You have your day workers, like your regular production factory workers, pretty much. They're going to have either a gold for training or a white hat. Or you're going to, And then you have like your trainers. They're going to have like a gray hat. Your managers have blue hats. Superintendents, they have like supervisors and shit like that. They have a dark, dark blue hat. Then you got your floor walkers, there with red hats, et cetera, et cetera. So he's a manager, blue hat. He comes up to me and he's like, "Man, where you from?" Because we were kind of walking into the building together. I'm coming in from my car. I guess he's coming in from his. And I'm like, "Man, I'm from Richmond." All right, you know what I'm saying? I'm from Richmond, VA. He like, "Yeah, man, I knew you weren't from around here." I don't know how the fuck he knew that. But I'm not putting off no vibes in that bit. I'm not talking to nobody. But, excuse me, I had to bug this Red Bull. So he gets to talking to me and he's like, man, I ain't gonna lie, yo, I've been fucking with you, bro. Like, you come in, you ain't trying to click up. You remind me of myself, man. You just be working and working and working and working, and you move so fast like you on production or something. You know you ain't no production here, right? I was like, "Yeah, I know, man. I'll be trying to get out of here. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be in here until 5 a.m. And he started laughing. He said, "No, I feel that." "I feel that. Everybody else around me don't move like that." He said, "Look, man, nobody else around this floor is moving like you." He said, "Since you've been on the floor, and this is what, like week three, week four for you?" He said, "I've had four different supervisors come up to me and ask me about you, and I'm not even your direct manager. You are moving." And so he was like, "You know, I'm just telling you this, man. You can have any color helmet you want to have in here. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Just keep coming to work. That's all I can tell you." And this place, and side note, this place has a high turnaround rate. Just as of any production, you know, well, not production, but any factory/production floor I'm a side, you know, emphasis on production, on floor, production floor type job. You know, when it's real physical, people don't want to stay, especially when it's, you know, you're in the freezer, you're in the fridge, you're doing this physical work, you're there for 12 to 10 hours on end. Like, it's a lot of work. So they have a high turnaround. And so he's telling me this. He's like, you know, just come in. He was like, you know, there's people in here that and as you see, that has been here 10 to 12 years that choose to sit exactly where they are. And they're good workers. Some of them are old and slow because we have a lot of old ladies at the job, y'all. A lot of old ladies, a lot of old men, a lot of young people and stuff like that. All of the young ones. And side note to the story, what I've observed is that and just like every job, you know what I'm saying? You know, all of the young ones, they've all clicked up. But the thing about the young ones is that it's not like just young, like random people. They're all like Haitian Creole. Like a lot of people that works on my shift is Haitian Creole. Or Hispanic. There's a few of just like, I don't want to say regular black people, but there's just a few. I don't want to say regular niggas or nothing, but like, I'm sorry, I'm cracking myself up. I'm tired. But but there's nobody like me, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just like, you know, that speaks regular English without a hard-ass accent. Because I don't know what the fuck nobody's saying in that job. Like, I don't really talk to people. And it's really not my choice. I would talk to people. I see these people really, like, way much more than my family now. So it's like, I would love to have connections, just, like, laugh and talk with these people. But I don't know what the fuck they're saying to me, bro. And I get so fucking upset, I get frustrated, and I spazzed on this one guy. I was just like, bro, I don't know what the fuck you're saying. And I just went to doing my job, and he didn't talk to me the rest of the day. I mean, he talks to me now. Like, a lot of people are really trying to be my friend now, and it's kind of cool, but it sucks also because I don't know what the fuck you're saying. But back to what my man was saying. I'm sorry, I always get sidetracked. But he's telling me, he was like, you know, you got people that works next to you that, you know what I'm saying, that are actually good workers. And you see them because, you know what I'm saying, I had you, you know, train with them. I had you shadow a couple of people, watch a couple of people. He was like, but he said, you'll notice that on Fridays and on the weekends when we really need y'all, they'll be the ones missing. The most valuable people in here be the ones missing on Fridays and Saturdays. Something always come up. And I was like, huh. And, I thought about it. And he was like, all I could tell you is this. Everybody's already looking at you. Just keep coming in. On Fridays, come in. On Saturdays, come in. Just if we need you on Saturdays, come in. You know what I'm saying? Because if you just keep coming in, I promise you, once you're ready, like, you know, once you're ready to go anywhere you want to go, I promise you, they already going to be waiting on me. And I was like, oh, man, he dabbed me up and everything. He was like, bro, like, he said a couple of other things, but, you know, that's here and there. You know what I'm saying? But it messed me up because, you know, you lose, like, and I tell a lot of people this, you can lose your best employee. You know, you can, and the employee can love the job, but you can lose your best employee if you don't appreciate that, if you don't value that person, if you don't give them any means of moving up, if you don't give them any way of seeing, if you don't show them a future in that place, let them feel like they can move up, or show them that they can move up, or appreciate the work that they actually are doing in there at all, you would lose your most valuable player. And it doesn't matter what it is, rather it's your friendship, it doesn't matter. You got to appreciate the people that's around you. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm just letting y'all know. You know what I'm saying? You got to appreciate the people that's around you. Now, back to the story. You know what I'm saying? What did he say? All right, so, you know, like I said, he said a lot of other things. But, you know, I let that shit go. So, you know, I'm thinking of that. And I'm like, damn, bro. Because once again, I was praying on things. And I was like, damn, like, and I didn't even like this job. I didn't like the job. But after that conversation, my mind moved a little bit differently. You know what I'm saying? And I've already, it was crazy because I already was busting my ass there, right? I was already busting my ass there. So it wasn't like I was just on some, and then like they hit me with some shit and I'm like, oh, now I'm charged up. Nah. I was already on my shit when I was in that bitch. But when I was, I was just like, yo, I'm going to DuPont. Like, I don't really care about this joint. Like, for real. Like, I was waiting on the first excuse not to show up the next day. I'm letting y'all know that. I guess that's the best way to say it. It was getting harder and harder to clock in every day. But I was definitely showing up early on time, especially when I'm responsible for somebody else. So I'm like, I'm always clocking in on time and getting everything straight. All that kind of stuff. So when he said that to me, like, I started, like, you know, of course, the rest of the day I was just kind of pondering, right? I'm like, interesting. Okay, I started paying attention to the people around me a little bit differently, right? So a couple of days go by. It's Friday, Ghost Town. I'm in that joint all day, busting ass. Ghost Town. All the main hitters in that joint. I can see him walking around like, damn. Looking around because he's looking for people. They're not there. He's looking for them MVPs. They're not there. I noticed it. I said, damn, I noticed it. Well, I didn't notice it until he said something, obviously. Like, I didn't even try to act like I'd have noticed that on my own, because I wouldn't have gave a fuck on a regular day. But when he said that, I started paying attention. I did notice that shit, right? And so, like I said, I'm thinking that, like, and this is how God works, y'all. Like, I'm trying to tell y'all, and this will, like I said, it'll come to a full circle. I didn't want to work there. I we had that conversation, and it really messed me up, because I finally started thinking to myself, and for the first time I said, you know what, I might be able to pull off this pilgrim shit, right? I really might be able to pull this shit off. And so the next couple of days, where I used to always dread going in there, I just started switching my mindset. I used to be like, I wonder where they're going to put me today. I forgot to tell y'all. One of the things that he did say in that conversation is that he told me that he said, you noticed that you haven't been put, you haven't been placed in a permanent position on the floor, like in a permanent station, shall I say. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, yes, I have noticed that. And I'm like, yo, I would like to be in the... I even cut him off. I said, I would like to be in a permanent position. He said, no. He said, if you've noticed, I've put you in the craziest jobs, in the most odd jobs. And I didn't give you a lot of instruction. I just told you to do that. And I sat back and I just kind of kept doing what I had to do. And I sat back and watched you, and you've never folded. I put you in a lot of pressure, and you've never folded. I was testing you every day. Everything that you were doing was a test. And he was like, and the way that you were shoveling that chicken, bro, he was like, that is the fastest I have ever seen. He was like, that's the fastest I've ever seen it. And he was like, a lot of people slow down after 5 scoops, 8 scoops. Bro, you cleared three boxes, you know what I'm saying? And these boxes, like I said, are not small. You could fit about 10 humans laying on top of each other in this box. Like, you can stack a lot of, bro, it's a big box. And so I was just like, damn, like, and it just feels good to be appreciated, right? Because it put a lot of perspective to what was going on, because I was pissed about all of these things. Every time I was put on something where I was sorting chicken, and it's hurting my back, I'm like, what am I doing? That's what I was saying. When I'm stacking shit and nobody's replenishing my carts and shit, and I'm having to walk all the way over here, like, they would purposely skip me. They'll put a cart at everybody's line, but they wouldn't put a cart at my line. And I have to walk all the way across the warehouse, all the way across the production floor to get my own cart, just so I can continue doing stacking the product like I needed to be stacked. And I had to work twice as hard every day. And I used to take it so personal, and I'd call Tiffany on my breaks, and I would get so upset. And just for this man to tell me, like, bro, this whole time I was just testing you. Like, you're not the only, and I'm not the only new person on the floor, but I'm the only one that they were doing this to. So I knew that it was genuine, what he was saying was real, because I was like, damn, bro. And that put a lot of perspective, because now, and I'll give you a snapshot to today. Now, it doesn't matter where I am. They take care of you, bro. Like, if I'm on the line, they're giving me cards. But I'm gonna just say this. So, like, that was God speaking to me, and that's how I took it. On the drive home after that, you know, after I had all of these good days, I was, I'm driving home and I'm having this realization. I'm like, yo, I've been praying so hard on direction, and then this happens. And this is a big deal for me because y'all heard my rants about Best Buy. Y'all heard the things that I went through and the way they treated niggas and the way they used to act and the way they, you know, all that kind of shit. Like, y'all heard all that shit. So for me to be feeling the way I feel, like, you know, for me to be feeling appreciated like that, and like for somebody to be taking notice and even putting me through those trials and shit like that, that I'm passing without even noticing, you know what I'm saying? It spoke a lot of volume to me, and I was like, wow, that is God. You know what I'm saying? That's not just, oh, if you work hard, you get every, you know, you're going to get everything you want. No, that was God right there, bro. My bad. I know my voice trailed off. I'm sitting in my office. And anyway. But that was God right there. And so I started thinking about it, and I said, you know what? I think God, like, God, your message is clear, bro. Like, your message is crystal. And I told Tiffany, I woke her up one day because, you know, I get here at 4. You know what I'm saying? And I woke her up right out of her sleep, and I was like, yo, I think I'm going to stay at Pilgrim's. I don't think I'm going to take DuPont. She was like, huh? For real? I was like, yeah. And then I told her what happened, and she was like, oh my God. Like, damn. And it hit her because she knew how I was going to feel about that. And she knew what that would have meant to me. She knew what that meant to me. She knew how I was busting my ass. She knew my complaints. And when she heard how he was testing me and all of the things he was saying, she was like, wow. Like, that's what I was saying. I was like, wow. So, like, you know, of course, I'm like, damn, bro. Like, that's crazy. Let me tell you how God's working, bro. See, God, you know, I said this to my mother. I said, you know, God's definitely talking. But my thing is about my man's is that he talking real loud right now. He's talking a little too loud right now because he's putting a lot on me. Let me tell you what my man's did. Let me tell y'all how God's working. My man's, I wake up in the morning getting ready for work, and I check my emails and I check my call list, and DuPont calls me. They're offering me the job, bro. Of course, you know what I'm saying? And they're telling me, like, yeah, bro, this is what we're going to do. Da-da-da-da-da. Congratulations, blah, 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 blah. You killed the interview, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yo, this is wild. And I accept it. I do say accept because I asked them, when is the start date? They say January 3rd. And I just didn't have it in my heart to tell them, I'm staying at Pilgrim's right now. I should have. And that's probably a conversation for another day. But I deadass was like, yo, like, yeah, I take it. But I was just like, I sit on it. Like, I'm just going to do this thing at Pilgrim's and just see where it goes in the meantime. And see how I feel around the end of December. Damn, that's actually not a long time, actually. I need to tighten up. But let me tell you. And now that means that January 3rd, I'm in Virginia working for DuPont. Jesus Christ, that's crazy. Anyway, so the following day, and I get this call in the earlier that day, so I have to work. I go to work and I'm on the line and I'm stacking. You know, just some random shit, and I'm just stacking, filling in for somebody, helping people out. And the machine messes up. I stopped the line, and I went to tell the manager. I said, "Hey, man," the same manager that actually spoke to me. I said, "Hey, man, this machine is messing up, bro." I was like, "This don't stop in the line or whatever." And he calls the operator over there, and the operator comes over there and starts messing with it, and he sees me looking at it, because I'm a fucking tech nerd, bro. Like, I'm a nerd, bro. So when it comes in any kind of machinery, like, I tune into it. Like, I was so grateful to see machines and shit in there, because I was like, yes, like, I ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just who I am. So he started pressing buttons and picking shit up and moving shit, and little shit was whirring and shit was moving, and I was like, oh, hell yeah, like, what the fuck he doing? And the nigga looked at me, he saw me look, he said, yo, you want to learn how to do this, bro? I said, yeah, bro. He said, you want his job? I said, yeah, bro. Like, don't, come on, like, quit playing me, bro. He was like, hey, man. He said, yo, he's going to third shift, bro. You can have his job. He was like, hey. He was like, you know what? He was like, hey, I'm going to make sure you got his job. He said, hey, you're going to train this man right here. The dude looked at me and said, shrugged, and said, all right. And I started laughing. I was like, bro, quit playing. So as he walked off, it dawned on me. I was like, bro, I'm so fucking new. I said, hey, bro. So I ran up to him, and I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey. Come on, bro. I got to wait 60 days before I can even move to another position. Because I was trying to go to a different position anyway. And then they was like, no, you don't. He said, do you work for... He was like, did you come here through us, or did you come here through like a staffing agency? I said, no, I came here through y'all. He said, oh, no, you don't. And he ain't said nothing of it since then, bro. Just yesterday, He told me today, he said, the lady called me up. I was doing my job. I was just doing regular stacking and shit. And she walks up to me and goes, "Hey, you're supposed to be training for operating. Come with me." I don't know what this means, y'all. Like, I don't know if this means more money. I don't know when this shit starts. I ain't signed no papers. I ain't did none of that. But all day today, I've been doing operator jobs. I didn't even go to lunch with the rest of the floor today. I had to stay behind. And it was me and all of the supervisors cleaning the floor up for those guys when they got back. And when they got back, then he told me, he said, go ahead and go to break. You know what I'm saying? I didn't leave when everybody else left because I had to clean the floor up with the supervisors again and stuff like that. Like, I'm moving differently. The thing is that, and it's so crazy because I'm still in all of this, like, I'm still in uncharted territory on my own. And everybody on the floor hating on me, bro. Like, it's kind of crazy, bro. They hating on me, son. Like, they keep staring at me. And then they be like, "Oh my God." Like, because I'm new. And so they just be like, "Yo, how the fuck is he getting where he's at?" Like, you know what I'm saying? And like, this one dude literally told dude, like, he don't even know shit, bro. Like, he was hating in my face. The same nigga that was just in the parking lot trying to chat with me just now. Trying to, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get to know me now. Like, bro. I'm making moves in this bitch. And so, like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my God, man. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do when it comes to this pilgrim with this DuPont shit. I really don't. Because it's still a big dilemma. But I really don't want to leave my family. And I'm making strides with this pilgrim shit. But God is definitely working. He told me, he said, "Hey, man, you want opportunities? Here's two. You still got to make a choice. But here's two." And they're giving me different. But see, it's a no-brainer. I think I'm going to stay at Pilgrims. But at the end of the day, that's $100,000 I'm turning up. I'm passing up. But that's what I'll do for my family. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I already got my mind made up, if y'all really want to be honest. But, if I want to be honest. Well, I say if y'all want to be honest. If I'm being honest. But, yeah, man. God is real. God is alive. Y'all need to stop playing. You know? Y'all need to stop playing. And y'all need to start praying. Now, that's the bars I'm looking for. There it is. No, I'm just... Oh, man. Certified Dunderboy. Oh, that's a little insider. Sorry, bro. Don't listen to me, man. I'm tired. I be rambling. But look, man, I just want to tell y'all, bro. God is real, bro. Please pray on your issues. There is nothing that God can't handle. And there is nothing too big, too small. Put it in God's hands. And have faith. And get some sleep, all right? And get some sleep. Next episode, we gonna dive into some real shit. I don't really know exactly how soon it's coming because I got another podcast that I'm setting up with my boy Michael Wolf. We got a little surprise we gonna hit y'all with, man, and it's gonna be interesting. So we're actually still planning everything out, y'all. So that's why I haven't made an announcement. We wanted to have a trailer dropped about Halloween, but it's coming, y'all. So I'm excited for it because, you know, he's such a good character, bro. He's such a good guy, and I just can't wait for you guys to hear like his insight on things, because I'm not gonna lie, like, I met this guy. Well, we'll talk about it. But it's gonna be good content, y'all. So I'm really looking forward. I'm really excited about it. I hope y'all guys are excited about it. I hope that was something that y'all were excited to hear just now. But trust me, even if you're not, you will be. Trust me. I stand on that. Until then, y'all, I'm gonna try to get some sleep. It's a little early. I know I sound freaking crazy. I was speaking a mile a minute because I'm really trying to force everything out because I just want to go in and eat my freaking. I don't even know how to eat, guys. I don't even know how to eat, man. It's 4 a.m, bro. Ain't nothing open. Shit, I'm open till like 6 or 7. I'd be damned if I'm gonna stay up till like 6 or 7. I don't know, guys. But I'm gonna go ahead and try to get some, you know, try to find something to eat, and then I'm definitely gonna crash. I want y'all to be well, love each other, love yourselves, pray. God is real. God loves you. If you give him a chance, he will show you. And I will talk to y'all about some real shit next episode. Until then, I love you guys. Gone. Oh, by the way, my bad. I forgot to tell y'all. So the way that this whole story comes full circle, pretty much like the way that I'm being blessed right now and the money that I'm making and the money that I'm about to make, you know what I'm saying? I get paid weekly. She get paid biweekly. I make, you know, so I actually make decent money and I feel like it's about to go up. So I've been blessed. And on top of that, if I decide to take the DuPont money, I mean, if I decide to take the DuPont job, that's going to be big, big money. And then on top of that, Tiffany has her own blessings that I can't disclose yet, because, you know, that's up for her to disclose. And that's a big blessing. And so altogether, you know what I'm saying? We're blessed. Our family are coming into some big things. And it wasn't us. I mean, it wasn't us alone. It was God. You know, once we really started allowing, you know, once we really brought God into our relationship, brought God into our family, brought God into our lives, I promise you, it definitely, we the difference is definitely there. And it's definitely showing in where we're headed. And just, I mean, it's an overall good feeling, y'all. So I definitely encourage you to do the same. It's going to feel a little unorthodox at first, especially if you're not used to it. But force yourself to take those moments to pray together, pray for each other. It doesn't always have to be a spouse. It could be your best friend. It could be a friend. It could be family. It could be, you know what I'm saying? It just look out for each other, look out for yourselves, but always include God into whatever you're doing, because that man, hey, he's working. He is busy. And all you have to do is ask. And so just talk to him. Just talk to him. That's all you have to do is talk to him. Don't feel that he doesn't hear you. I used to think that all the time. I used to feel that, you know, God don't speak to me. You've heard me say it. God doesn't speak to me. But I realized that I wasn't listening. I wasn't really listening. Well, I thought this was the movies. I wasn't really listening. It was right in front of me the whole time. A lot of the times it was right in front of me the whole time. You have to see it. You have to really think about your life. Think of where you are, where you're headed, your mindset, all of that. All of these are factors. So include God into your life, y'all. I love y'all. And I just wanted to let y'all know, like, I just wanted to kind of close that out, because I forgot. I was like, damn, I started off talking, bragging about Tiffany. Then I ended up talking about myself. It circles. It all comes together. Together we are blessed. And we brought God into it. God did it. God, dude, God would do it for you too. I love y'all. And until next time, bye bye. I mean, bye bye. I swear, bro, I need to go to sleep. I'm gone, bro. I'll holler at y'all. Until next time, man. Love y'all. Damn.